Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." And he says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus, For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The day after John had baptized Jesus, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. The gospel readings during these Sundays after Epiphany are all variations on a theme. Regardless of what lectionary year we're in, the readings serve the same basic purpose, which is to help us figure out who Jesus is and what his ministry means for us today. As such, the readings always touch on baptism, on light, on journeys, and on signs from God. The famous Epiphany hymn we sang just a few moments ago, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, repeatedly focuses our attention on stories that show God in man made manifest. If we can ignore our reflexive feelings about the gender exclusivity of the word man for a moment, because remember, actually, the song is talking specifically about Jesus, we can appreciate how God's glory is made manifest in episode after episode in the life and ministry of Jesus. The hymn, like the season, starts with the birth and baptism of Jesus, and then quickly jumps to his first miracle, that lovely story of turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. From there, it highlights moments of healing and exorcism, and then goes to the glorification of Jesus on the mountaintop, and ultimately even the cross and empty tomb as more signs of glory. A moment ago, described it to somebody as the greatest hits of Epiphany. So I hope you will go home and look at that hymn again and maybe learn it by heart. All of these episodes are portrayed as manifestations of God's glory in the person of Jesus. And all of them are meant to color what we hear and learn and pray about during this season, these few short weeks between Epiphany and Lent. Sometimes these events that we've just focused on are even called little epiphanies because they're all moments of manifestation, moments that give us glimpses into the reality of who Jesus is and what he means to the world. Now, our gospel today begins with one of those key moments of God in man made manifest. That is the baptism of Jesus. But if you were here last week and you're thinking, wait, we did that one already, you're right, sort of. Last week, though, we heard Matthew's version of the baptism, which, as Deacon Margaret pointed out in her sermon, focuses on the exchange between Jesus and his cousin John, an exchange marked by both righteousness and humility. Today's telling of the story is found in John's gospel, and it has a different emphasis. If we look at the first portion of the passage, the portion that is specifically about the baptism, we see that it focuses on the identity of Jesus. Twice, John points at Jesus with the words, "Here is the Lamb of God." That is about as clear a revealing of the identity of Jesus as happens at this early stage in the gospel, and it's far earlier than in any of the synoptics. John also recounts his own experience of baptizing Jesus. He's already looking back on that and explaining it to people. And he makes it clear that it was in that moment, seeing the dove and hearing God's voice, that he truly recognized Jesus for who he was. John even refers to his own ministry of baptism as being for the explicit purpose of revealing the identity of Jesus to Israel. That's an easy point to overlook in this dense passage. John's mission and ministry help manifest the true nature of God, of Jesus, to the world. Surely that should give us a hint about the purpose of our own mission and ministry. In John's gospel, then, The baptism of Jesus is primarily a sign, a way of revealing and testifying to the identity of Jesus as the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. Then, in the second part of the gospel passage, the portion where Jesus encounters Andrew and a second unnamed disciple, the emphasis shifts from recognizing Jesus to following Jesus. At first, the disciples follow him surreptitiously without approaching him. Obviously, they're intrigued by John's insistence that this man is the Lamb of God, but quite possibly they're a little afraid too. So Jesus is the one who initiates their encounter, turning around to them and asking, "What are you looking for?" And then following that question up with the invitation, "Come and see." I love those phrases. What are you looking for? And come and see. We could gain a lot of clarity about our own ministries by asking ourselves that question and then deciding again and again to say yes to that invitation. And is it just me, or is there something a little mischievous, a little playful about the way Jesus speaks to these disciples here? It's question followed by question, and then that open invitation. Whatever his tone, it clearly works, for the disciples do follow him and stay with him, and one of them even goes and finds his brother, Simon Peter, and convinces him to become a disciple too. And where all of that leads is, as they say, a story for another time. The serious point here is that the gospel is reminding us that you can't get to know Jesus just by learning things about him or hearing other people's testimony or getting to know him from a careful, polite distance. You get to know Jesus by following him, by going where he goes and loving the people he loves and seeing the world as he sees it. In John's gospel, the baptism of Jesus is a sign in the sense of being a revelation of the identity of Jesus. But it is also a sign in the sense of a signpost, something pointing to Jesus and with big flashing lights saying, "Follow him." Or as Jesus himself puts it, "Come and see." Ultimately, then, the season we're in asks us to move from noticing how Jesus manifests the glory of God in his life and ministry to challenging ourselves to do the same. This is the time to ask, as individuals and as a church, not only where do we see God already made manifest in the world, which is an important question, but also, what can we do to make God manifest for others? What can we do to follow in Christ's footsteps and help the church be a light to the nations? And when I say the season we're in, I don't just mean the season of Epiphany. I mean the season the world is in today. Last week, Margaret reminded us of the words of the great prophet Martin Luther King Jr., who famously said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. These are appropriate words for us to continue to contemplate, especially as tomorrow our country will mark a holiday in King's honor in the midst of the most conflicted and divided political context our country has seen for at least half a century. And I want to add that I think sometimes we as a society need reminding that Dr. King was not suggesting that the arc will just inevitably bend that way on its own. He wasn't saying just be patient and if we wait long enough, it's all going to turn out right. No, I'm convinced that Dr. King, as much as any martyr this country has ever known, understood that it is our job to do all we can to make sure that that bend toward justice happens. That's what following Jesus does. It helps move the needle, bend the arc, bring us closer to the reality of the beloved community we all so ardently desire. This past week, thousands of Episcopalians joined an online prayer vigil in order to mourn, lament, and remember those who have died due to immigration enforcement or while in detention. We prayed for Renee Nicole Good and for so many others who are being hurt by the cruel and chaotic actions of our government. It was a powerful experience, and I'd like to end with words that I found very moving, the words of Craig Loya, Bishop of Minnesota, who said in his reflection, "In this moment, like so many that have come before, love calls us to give ourselves away. Love may very well call us to put our very lives on the line. We may not feel like we are able to stop what is happening, but no matter the outcome, we will not be moved. We will continue to stand up. We will continue to stand with. We will march in the streets and deliver food to those locked in their homes and flood our legislators with calls for the madness to stop. And because we have each other, because we are carried along by the Spirit's river of love, the weariness we feel will not overcome us. The anger will not consume us." He went on to talk about the importance of taking the time to mourn and weep and even vent our anger when we need to. And then he concluded, Tomorrow we get on with the business of resisting with love, of disrupting with hope, of agitating with joy, because we know that love has already won. Our work is to show up every day in every place, using all we are to show the world its victory, until God's love is fully and gloriously done on earth as it is in heaven. Resisting with love, disrupting with hope, agitating with joy. Those sound to me like very good ways to make God's light and love manifest in the world today. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through
Let us pray to the God who revealed his Son to the world by the leading of a star, that we might be led to a clearer vision of God's presence at all times and in all places.
We give you thanks for our baptism and for those who brought us to faith, who inspired us by word and example. We pray for preachers, prophets, and for all who reveal your presence. Jesus, light of the world, give us your light and your peace. We pray that the rulers of this world may serve your kingdom, and that the resources and gifts you have given us through creation may be used for the relief of those in need, and to your praise and glory. Jesus, light of the world, give us your light and your peace. We pray for all who live and work in Davis and all of Yolo County, for a sharing of talents and an awareness of needs, especially among those who are unhoused. We remember all who have been driven out of their homes by poverty, war, or climate change. Jesus, light of the world, give us your light and your peace. We thank you for the gifts you have given us, and we seek to use them rightly. May our homes be havens of hospitality and peace. We ask for the grace to make our parish a place where all are welcomed as Christ. Jesus, light of the world, give us your light and your peace. We pray for all who have died, that they may even now see you in the fullness of your glory. We ask you to give hope and strength to all who mourn and to bring a new light into their darkness. Jesus, light of the world, give us your light and your peace.
O Lord, our God, you call us in the depths of our being. Open our ears to your call. Open our hearts to your love. Open our minds to your purpose, that we may know you and give ourselves fully in your service. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated as Susan gives us the announcements.
Please take out your yellow sheet. There's some important stuff here, especially next week is our annual meeting. There's one service. And the first announcement is about the annual meeting. And for you guys who are parents, there's a lot going on with the children. So there'll be godly play. The nursery will be open. So that's not a reason to not come to the annual meeting. The annual meeting is about the business of the church. And there's still room for people to run for to be on the vestry. And also to be at the diocesan convention is not until next October, but we will be electing our delegate, and that is on Zoom. So you don't even have to get in your car and drive far, far away to become a delegate. And that's the business of the whole diocese. Really, really interesting. If that kind of stuff's not for you, keep in mind we always have lots of room for more ushers, more people in the service. Margaret is a good person to talk to if you would like to serve communion and all of the jobs like that. And if you look through the sheet, you're going to find all kinds of things going on in our broader community. The one I'm going to be involved in to some extent is the Community Forum on Human Trafficking Awareness, January 28th. It's hard to believe. I feel like Davis is kind of a bubble, and it's hard to believe there is human trafficking around here, and it's a very serious thing, and so I encourage you to go to that. But please take this home and mark some things on your calendar. I see there's a pancake breakfast that's going to be coming up. Lots of exciting things at St. Martin's. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan. I think one thing that might be a little unclear about next Sunday, there's just one service at 10 a.m., and I don't think there's actually godly play, but what there is it's a fourth Sunday, so you'll be here in the service, and then there will be things for the kids after the service during the annual meeting, which will not be boring to any of you. It just might not keep the attention of like the under 10 set. So as Susan said, we're trying to give you no excuses for coming, staying after church. There will be food. We always keep things moving along pretty well. And I think there will be some feel good moments as well during the annual meeting. So I do encourage you to come to that. The one other thing that is a little bit time sensitive is if you saw the, where is it on here? Sacred Journeys. There's a new dialogue series that the Episcopal Church is just launching as a pilot. They looked for churches around the country, and we are partnering with Trinity Cathedral in Sacramento to be part of that pilot. It's a series about migration, specifically migration with dignity. So if you're interested in that, Janet is really our point person for that. She's doing a lot with the diocesan work around immigration, and she can give you more information. But since it's starting in February or early March, it's time to decide if you want to be part of that. Okay, we did have at least one birthday, two now, okay. Two celebrations and milestones.
See, Carol Hahn had a birthday on Friday.
Yay!
And Craig Harris had a birthday, I think, yesterday.
Craig Harris's birthday was yesterday. Are there other celebrations and milestones that people would like to share? Quiet week. Yes, Sarah? Oh, Ben Eustace Guthrie had a birthday. Yay! He doesn't look like that's a yay, but I think it is. I think it's a good thing. All right. Libba. Oh, Lynn Zunder has a birthday tomorrow, and is it Diane's birthday? Is that why you're pointing it? No. Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, I'll get to you after I figure out why Libba's pointing. It's pointing at you. Oh, Lucy turned three. Yay. Well, that's a lot to celebrate. So if you turn to our celebrations and milestones prayer on page 5, we say this together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our communion today will be around the altar rail. We will have communion in both kinds on both sides. And so if you wish to just consume the bread as it's given to you, that's one choice. The other option is to hold it in the, keep it in your palm of your hand, and then the Eucharistic minister will intinct it for you, and you can have both bread and wine that way. You can also come forward and cross your arms for a blessing. You're welcome to stand or kneel at the altar rail, whatever works for you, or just let us know if it's not okay, if you're not okay coming forward, but you would like to receive communion, we will bring it to you. The communion is homemade, it is gluten-free and vegan, and we really encourage and invite everyone to come to the table who feels called. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of light and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we sing. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us, and so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, that with Blessed Martin and all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever and ever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor and glory and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Jesus.
Please rise. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Christ, be a bright flame before you, a guiding star above you, a kindly shepherd behind you, and a supporting strength beneath you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.